Book of 1 Thessalonians. The Lord's laid this text on my heart again tonight, and I just want to try to mind the Spirit of God. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll read the chapter, only 10 verses, and notice some truths in this text about Christian living. This is a good group of believers to look to as a pattern. As an example, I don't see where they were ever really rebuked for anything. They did get confused about the rapture. And of course, Paul straightened that out pretty quick. They got concerned. And of course, if it was the first time I'd ever heard of it, I'd probably be concerned too. They were concerned about their loved ones that already died. If they were going to be left behind or not go to heaven because they'd passed away. And Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as even as others which have no hope. He said, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, then we which are alive. He said, you don't have to worry about them. They're going to rise before you do. Amen. 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 And so I thank God for this. Let's notice Paul and Silvanus, talking about Silas and Timothy, under the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men you were among you for your what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves eschew of us what manner of entering in we had among you, and how ye turned to God from idols and to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, you get that last phrase, the wrath to come. There is a wrath to come. And now, folks, I'm thankful for grace, mercy, long-suffering, gentleness. I'm thankful for all these things about the Lord. Had the Lord not been these things, I wouldn't be saved. However, there will come a day, folks, when it's time. Bible said he's not going to tarry. He's coming. And it could be at any moment. So these people got saved. They got rescued. They got born again. And they were safe from the wrath to come. What wrath are you talking about? The wrath of God on ungodliness. It's coming. It's coming. The wrath of God's coming against ungodliness. Those that reject Christ. And folks, wrath is a term not only of anger, but of getting even. In other words, those that reject God's Son upsets the Lord. Those, after the price that's been paid at Calvary, the sufferings, folks, if one of my sons went through that and you rejected him, it upset me. So the wrath of God is that, hey, you reject his Son, he's going to show you what wrath is. But aren't you thankful that you still have time? That you still have space and opportunity tonight? Folks, I wouldn't leave here tonight unsaved. Amen. I wouldn't leave this place tonight if I wasn't sure. Amen. I wouldn't do it. There ain't no way. Because life is a vapor. What is your life? It is the vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. We don't know what we're going to do. Hey, don't say I'm going to do this or that tomorrow. Say if God wills, well, I'll do this or that. So we don't know. We don't know when the Lord's coming. We don't know when our time's coming. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. You have an appointment with death. I have an appointment with death. We don't know when that appointment's going to be. Amen. Some people get sick and stay sick a long, long time, and they get right with God in the process, get saved. That's wonderful. Not everybody gets that. That's right. Not everybody gets that. You know, folks, and again, I'm saying this with all love and cautious in my heart, but I was thinking about the 9/11 attacks and the thousands that were killed, and I wonder how many of those were not saved. Now, again, you don't indict God. He did right by those people as far as their spiritual life and every other way. And just because they were attacked by terrorists and died that way, they didn't give them a ticket to heaven. See, the Bible hadn't changed. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, therefore, they had no idea. And I say that with a heart of hurt for them families. Stuff they had to see and witness, and even the cameras got. Man, I hate that for them. But I still wonder. I wonder how many woke up in heaven and how many woke up in hell. So we don't know. We don't know the day or the hour. We have to be ready. And the Lord's gave you the opportunity to get ready. That's not my message, but the wrath to come is coming. And these people escaped that. They were delivered from it by the blood of Jesus. I've been delivered from the wrath to come by the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen. I've been delivered from the wrath. Hey, and you can be tonight if you're not saved. You can be delivered from that. Yeah. Hey, it's not God's will that any perish, but all come to repentance. That's right. So anyway, may the Lord add his blessings in this chapter. There's a lot of great things I want to run through tonight quickly, if God will give me help and utterance. Now again, Paul planted the church of Thessalonica on his second missionary journey. Paul was he was actually driven out of Thessalonica by the Jews. And we see in verse 3, he said, remembering without ceasing. He's remembering what God did through them, but yet he was driven out of the place. And yet we see it was about 54 A.D. when Paul planted this church. The church, for lack of better words, that when they got born again, the church got established, they hit the ground running. Amen. I mean, folks, they didn't waste any time. I don't even think they went through any soul winning classes, and I'm not against that either. You know I'm not here. Amen. The more we can learn about talking to folks and witnessing to folks and knowing our Bible, that's a good thing. But folks, hey, they got right at it. And what they did basically was just tell them what, hey, apparently all they had to do was tell them what Jesus done for them. That's what Paul did to Agrippa. He gave him his testimony. He could have given him a lot of Greek, Hebrew, could have given him a lot of deep things, but he said, I think myself happy to speak. I count myself happy. And he told them where he was, where Jesus found him, and what Christ brought him from, how he saved his soul. These people did the same thing. The very same thing Paul did when they got saved, they did it when they got saved. And people were getting right with God. So again, in this chapter, I'm trying to hurry. In this chapter, there are some things about these Christian people. Again, these were relative young Christians. See, you don't have to wait till you're 5 years in the Lord to do a work for God. Amen. Right. Amen. Right. God saved us to serve. Amen. He saved us to be a witness. That's right. Amen. Hey, just like that blind man, he said, I don't know. All I know where is I was blind, now I see. Amen. Hey, what happened to you, boy? I don't know. I know a while ago I was blind as a bat. But now I see. Amen. Hey, as a young Christian, you know, I don't understand it all, but I know something took place. I heard the gospel that Christ died for my sin according to the scripture and he's buried and rose again. Hey, the Spirit of God rested my heart and I saw myself a sinner and I repented and turned to God and called on the Lord and he saved me and I'm changed. I can't understand it, don't know it all, but whereas I was blind, now I see. Spiritually, I've been made whole. Jesus passed by and changed my life. Amen. You want to know about him? If he can change me, he can change you. Amen. If he can save me, he can save you. Hey, folks, we ain't always been this spiritual. Some of you may be here going, oh, you probably always been spiritual. Yeah, right. And none of us have. But what happened? Jesus passed by. The Lord saved us. The Lord rescued us. The Lord brought us up also out of the miry clay, out of that pit, and set our feet on a rock. The Lord came by. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry, and brought me up also out of the horrible pit in the miry clay. That's what God did. I didn't save myself. He saved me. So I want to notice some things about the Christian life in this chapter. I got five things I want to share with you quickly, and we'll go home. Number one, notice in verse one, the Christian life is a positional life. Folks, we need to know what we are and who we are as God's people. If you notice verse number one, the Bible says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you. Now, folks, if we're in God, in the Son, and the grace of God's around us, you're going to have peace. See, now there's an acceptance there in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus. We're in Him. Do you understand that? We're in them. Amen. That's why I'm not worried about losing anything. Amen. I'm not on them. I'm in them. I'm in them. And so just like, and I'm going to turn to, you don't have to turn to the book of Ephesians. Chapter number one, I believe it is. Ephesians chapter number one. We have acceptance that can never be reversed. In verse 5 and 6 of Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says this. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now again, folks, that word predestinated is a good word for God's people. Amen. That don't apply till you get in.
Right.
Amen. Hey, that predestination, hey, God got foreknowledge, and He foreknew I'd accept Him. And now, because of that, I'm predestined to heaven. It's a done deal.
Amen.
You're right.
Because of His foreknowledge. I'm not talking about this Calvinistic junk that God picked you, didn't pick you. God will save you, but He won't save you. I ain't talking about that. That's garbage. There's too many whosoever's and all's in the Bible if we believe any of that. However, He's still sovereign and He's still God. And He knew I'd receive the gospel before the foundation of the world. He knew I'd get saved. Amen. I don't believe He knew I would. He ain't much of a God. He's God. He knows. He's sovereign. Amen. Because He foreknew it, He predestined me. And I am now accepted in the Beloved. Oh, see, it can't be reversed. It's already a done deal. And the Lord's already seen me there. I've already been seen there. Can't reverse what He doesn't say. In God's eyes, I'm justified, declared righteous, those that ever sin. Hey, if that's the case, how's it going to be reversed? If He sees me through the blood of Christ, how are you going to reverse that? That's right. Stop worrying about losing it and enjoy that you got it. Quit worrying about that. Well, I'm going to lose it. Let me tell you something. If you're saved, it won't take the Lord long to let you know who your Father is. Because He'll get the switch on you. He'll chasten you. That's right. He'll chasten you. He chastens those that He loves. So it cannot be reversed. And then in John 10, I'll go ahead and turn there. I know you know this text. But in John 10, not only acceptance that can never be reversed, but assurance that can never be revoked. John 10, verse number 28, the Bible says this, and I give unto them eternal life. Listen, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So therefore, our position, hey, remember, always remember your position. As a child of God, as a son of God, a daughter of God, remember your position. It never changes. Are you listening? Our position in Christ never, ever changes. Now, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, you're bastards and not sons. That's what the book of Hebrews said. Now, folks, I'm not. I know that word's used in slang now, and when I say it, you always might think of a cuss word. But there's a lot of illegitimates walking around saying they're in, and they're not in.
You're right.
They didn't lose anything; they never had it. Amen. And one sign of that is no chastening in your life. There's no, hey, the Spirit of God lives within us. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:30, I don't know, I've been preaching on this a little bit here late for some reason. But Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Ghost of God. In other words, he can be grieved. You know what grieved is? Upset.
Right.
Mourn. How do we grieve him? Sin. Sin grieves the Spirit of God lives within us if you're saved. And automatically, when we sin, it gratifies the flesh, but it grieves the Holy Ghost that lives within us. And if you don't have that, that's the first stage of rebuke of the Spirit of God, is him grieving us. Said, hey, man, I don't like that. That hurts my feelings.
Amen.
I don't appreciate that. I don't want that in my life. I don't want you doing that. Don't do that. And then, most of the time, most of God's people will get it right then. You say, preacher, and don't take this as an excuse in sin, not even in my own life. But preacher, I'm tired of the same thing getting the victory over me all the time. Well, you, for lack of better words, you're in good company. Paul hated it too. But he never excused it. He never excused it. He fought it. He battled it. He never said, oh, well. No. Man, he bothered. He got on him so bad, he said, oh, wretched man that I am.
Right. Yes,
sonship. The Holy Ghost lived in him. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't. Whatever that sin was, that he bared on him, the things I should do, I don't do. The things I don't shouldn't do. All that things, oh, wretched man that I am. Hey, he was said, man, I'm vile in my flesh. And he said, the only hope for me is Romans 8:1, those that walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But if you be without chastisement, you ain't lost it. You never had it. And of course, you and I know that the Lord never lowers the boom on us all at one time. He deals with us. Aren't you glad he'll talk with us?
Amen.
Before he takes the bail out. Aren't you glad he'll meet with us? And that still small voice and the work of the whole. Aren't you thankful that God loves us enough? He wants to love us back in the fellowship. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful? I'm glad he don't just boot me out every time I fail him. But you know what? If I don't let him deal with me as a son, if I rebel, it gets rougher and rougher. And y'all get the picture. Notice secondly, and I got to hurry. I spent too much time there. The Christian life is a positional life, but it's also a pattern life. Look at verse 6 and 7. Let me get back to the text. Verse 6 and verse number 7. And you became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. You understand, the Jews of Thessalonica were really pitching a fit. They ran Paul out of town. And they received the word of God. They got right with God in much affliction. Well, folks, I'm not trying to... Let's preach the word of God. They received the word in much affliction. They were getting right with God and getting their lives threatened at the same time. Affliction, maybe even getting beaten while they're on their knees praying and calling on God. Maybe getting in prison. They received the word of God, listen, in affliction.
Right.
How many of us, man, I got to get saved. I don't care if they shoot me. I got to get right with God. I don't care if they put me in prison. I got to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I got to get right with God. Hey, none of us received the word of God in much affliction, but they did. They received it in much affliction. Now, again, that's not reading nothing in the nothing that's not right. But no, what does it mean? Affliction. Man, they were. Hey, there's no doubt they were being disowned by family. losing jobs, probably wasn't able to buy from the local store. It cost them something. And they just kept on serving. It's a pattern life. In verse 7, he said, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So he said, man, y'all received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Hey, the more they afflicted you, the more God filled you. Are you listening? The more they were afflicted because of the word, hey, the more God gave them joy and filled their lives. Folks, you get filled with the Spirit and the joy of the Lord, your strength. Little things that the devil throws at you, it won't bog you down. Amen. Now, I'm not saying they liked it. I'm not saying they appreciated it. But it didn't stop them. They had a patterning labor. Look at verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. They had a pattern of labor. They had a pattern in love. Verse number 6. He talked about their labor of love in verse 3. And you became followers of us. They had to love God, to serve God in much affliction. What about that? Folks, I wrote this down. I don't have much originality, but I wrote this down. When love is accurate, affliction will be accepted. When love is accurate, affliction will be accepted. Amen. See, when we're doing what we do because we love the Lord, and we have a real sense and a real knowledge of actually what He saved us from and to, it'll make you love Him.
Amen.
And when love is accurate, folks, the bottom line is, why can't you get some Christians to serve God? Why can't you get some Christians to be faithful to church? Why can't you get some? I'll tell you why. Their love's not accurate.
Amen.
Love's not accurate. They love themselves. What do you mean? Well, I ain't love myself. Somebody hurt my feelings. You love yourself, and you allowed yourself to get you out. Folks, I wish that every Christian that goes to churches everywhere know how to behave themselves, but they don't. But I'm not coming for them.
Amen.
I'm not coming for others. Now, if you want to use that excuse, the devil will really nail it in your mind. That's right. Some people are leaving the Bible-believing churches, going to the liberal message because, oh, no, they don't, preacher don't preach to you over there. They don't have a standard. They don't do this, that, and the other. Oh, that's a good excuse.
That's right.
To leave it.
Yep.
Leave that Bible.
Right.
Leave everything you know you've seen God bless.
Yep.
And use. Put His hand on. Hey, the kind of preaching that you got saved under. Wasn't nothing wrong with it then. Wasn't nothing wrong with that church then.
Amen.
What's happened? The preacher quit preaching the gospel? Changed the word? We quit? Hey, no. The love got inaccurate. These people love was accurate, so affliction was accepted. Now, look at verse 9. I'm going to bring these two thoughts together. The Christian life is a pattern life. It's a principle life. Look at verse number 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Now notice this. Now again, if you cannot see in verse 6 and 7, verse 9, if you can't see repentance there, you don't want to see it. In verse 9, notice this. They did a complete 360. They turned from. They took a stand for something. They turned to God. And they took a stand against something. Turned from idols. Turned to God. For God is help. Leadership for love. They turned to God. They turned from. That's a picture of repentance, but also, you know what? We're against that now.
Amen.
We see the error of it now.
Right.
We were going to hell falling on our face toward a statue or some type of remnant or some type of nail. Hey, there's nothing.
Amen.
They turned their back on it, disowned it, got away from it. If that's not a picture of repentance, I don't know what it is.
Sure it is.
When they got with God and got saved, they turned from it. Folks, our problem is people get saved and they turn from it. True repentance, get right with God, and somehow or another they turn back to it. Well, how could they do that? Well, their flesh didn't get saved. Our flesh didn't get saved when we got saved. Whatever you craved and desired before you got saved, your flesh still wants it. Your spiritual man don't want it. Your spiritual man wants to honor God. Wants to love Jesus. Wants to walk in harmony with the Lord. But your flesh don't. So when we have tendencies to turn back, what happens? That's when the Lord chastens us. It's when he calls on us. You know, we have a generation today where, you know, I just let my children figure it out for themselves. Foolishness is bound the heart of a child.
Right.
What do you mean you're going to let them figure it out? They ain't going to figure it out. They're going to get deep into demonic sins, what they're going to do. Rod of correction drives it far from them.
Right.
You have to deal with that.
Amen.
Amen. You have to deal with that.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Had a lady come to church here years ago. Try to rebuke me for correcting one of my children. That didn't help. That didn't work out good for her. And if I hear one of you trying to correct one of my children, correct my grandchildren, you're gonna hear from me. Take care of yours. We'll take care of ours.
Amen.
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 We'll handle ours.
Amen.
That's right. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Rod of correction drives it far from him. I ain't talking about beating young. I'm talking about correcting them the Bible way with the rod of correction.
Right.
That's right. It didn't kill you. It ain't going to kill them.
That's right.
Amen. Well, it might warp their personality. All the people I've ever seen warp personality never had a rod of correction.
Amen.
I mean, watch the TV. I'd be ashamed. You seen that video when Trump got voted in last time? If that was my daughter, I'd beat the far out of her. Acting crazy. But I egged that woman on when they was rioting in California. I don't know what she had. I don't know if she had a stick, rod. I don't know what she had. But she came and found her boy. And she ran him all the way back to the house. That picture of that mama. I know I'm making some of y'all mad, but give me a verse. Give me a verse. We'll go with that. That woman went in there, and her boy was in that store. Wasn't supposed to be in that store. She said, "Get home." And she got him by the arm, and he jerked away from her. She just laid him out right there in the store. And she went to work. Amen. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction drives it far from them. That's evidence of sonship. Spare the rod, hate your son. It don't say spare the rod, spoil the child. That ain't even in the Bible. Spare the rod, hate thy son is. That's right. Now again, we don't, the Lord don't, and we don't. We try to speak to him first. Stop that. Don't do that. That's not right. You're going to get hurt. Don't do that. Don't do it. And you know, like we long suffering. Don't do it again. I done told you, don't do it. And then about the third time, I said, don't do that. Hey! A lot of times, that'll work. But if it don't, there's a barn burner around your waist.
Light
it up.
That's right. You might.
Biblical. I don't know why I'm on this, but I'm on sonship. And I ain't picking on anybody. You can read my notes after it's over there. But that's where America's got.
Yeah. Right. Right.
The problem with America didn't start at the White House.
No,
it started at our house.
Amen.
We cannot blame the government, the school system, or anything for not having revival. For the homes going to it's on us. It's our fault. It's not. I can't blame. But it's that old school system. No, it's how you raise them. None of us are perfect parents. Nobody is. But folks, if we try our best to do it under the confines of the Scripture, your kids has a whole lot better chance.
Amen.
Folks, you understand? I'm on this now. I'm just going to preach it. You understand, when I was in school, I don't know if I was a senior yet, but all any teacher had to say was, "I'm going to talk to your daddy." That's all they had to say. I tripped a girl on a school bus. She was a mean little girl, and I tripped her. And she went flying. I mean, I got her right when she's getting off the bus. I did it right in front of her mama. I wasn't too smart. And the next day, her and her mama was at the principal's office, and my daddy knew Walker Williams. I said, "He's calling daddy. He's going to call my daddy. Whew, it's going to be rough when I get to the house." And it was. Well, what happened? I didn't trip no more little girls before they got off the bus. But the Lord, we turn from, and we turn from the idols, we turn to God, and when we turn back, God begins to, he loves us enough to say, "You're not going back there. You're not going to go back there. Come on. But if we do one of these, Lord, I'm going to do what I want to do." He loves you enough to steal. And if he has to do it physically, through the chastening rod of God, he will. He will. And folks, I believe severe chastisement is the last resort for God, just like it is for you and me with our children. I believe it's the last resort. I don't think the first time your child misbehaves, you'll just fly loose on it. I don't think that's biblical either. That ain't how the Holy Ghost does it. It's a last resort. When we completely let God know, "I'm going to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. And I don't care what you say." That spirit and that attitude, then that becomes the final straw that God says, "I've got to get your attention." Because chastisement produces holiness. The whole purpose for it, study the book of Hebrews, it produces holiness. It's meant to draw us closer to the Lord. Folks, every time my dad whipped me, it was after rebukes. And you know what? I tried to pout up, but it wouldn't be long. I'd be hugging his neck. And it drew me closer to him. That son of my wife, when he died, is my very best friend on this earth. Because He showed love. And I knew I was guilty. Well, that's sermon number two. Let me get back to this sermon number one. It's a pattern life. It's a principle life. It's a purpose life. Verse number 8. Look at it quickly. I'm going to get done. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything." Personal life. It's a personal life. It's not only a position on a pattern and a principle. It's a personal. What do you mean, preacher? Our purpose is to serve the Lord and seek the lost. That's what they were doing. We see a pattern of it in the Philippian jailer. We see when he got saved, he began to serve the Lord and seek the lost. What do you mean seek the lost? What did he do immediately? He began to bind up their wounds, began to cook them, he began to serve the Lord. But the very first thing he did was got his family to him. His whole house got saved. How did they get saved? He had to get Christ to them. Now, I wouldn't argue about it, but when he came in and drove the sword going to kill himself, I don't believe his wife and youngest were standing there. He took him home. He took him home. Hey, moms and dads, get Jesus to your children. You live for God. You make sure you're saved. The best thing you can do for your children is not buy them a new Xbox, it's get them to Christ. Amen. Then you can buy them a new Xbox. This flipping jailer, hey, that we see that very pattern in Acts 16, serving the Lord, seeking, that's what this church done. When they got right with God, they had a purpose in their life, serving God, seeking the lost, getting the gospel to people. And God's people nowadays do the very opposite of that. We're not serving, we sure ain't telling anybody. Look at verse 10, I'm done, my time's gone. It's prepared living. It's a positional life. Pattern life, a principle life, a purpose life, a prepared life. Verse number 10. And to wait, that's what we're doing right now, and to wait for his Son from heaven, from whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What do you mean prepared? They're waiting for his Son. We are prepared for his appearance. 1 John, let me turn there. I don't know if I have it marked, but I want to read 1 John. Y'all bear with me. I'm done. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 28. 2, verse number 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Did you get a hold of that? So we need to be prepared for his appearance. He's talking about God's people. Are you prepared to see him? I've told y'all this a million times, but I had a chore when in summertime, one of the biggest ones was to cut the grass. And I didn't cut the grass till Daddy said, cut it. He said, he'd tell me at night, and tomorrow the grass better be cut when I get home. You got that right. And then I'd get stuck watching Young and the Restless with my sisters and forget about it. Yeah, I needed prayer. I was bad. Then I'd say, I got plenty of time. And then about 2:30, 15 to 3 rolled around. He got off at 3, and I'd go run out there. We had an old Aaron's 8 horsepower. You pulled it. I had a GM motor. I know it did. You'd pull. And I said, oh, dear Lord, please. I mean, I got right with God. Daddy had an old van. You could hear it coming for half a mile. And I said, oh, Lord. I didn't love his appearing. But then he'd say, the grass better be cut tomorrow. And I'd get on it right when the dew was gone. I was on the lawn. I got it done. It was immaculate, like a golf course. No, not that good, but it was cut. And I'd go outside and walk around the driveway waiting for him to come. Waiting for him to get there. And I'd hear that trumpet in that Dodge van. And I'd be standing there smiling. Are we prepared for his appearance? Are we prepared for his accounting? 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. We got to be prepared for his appearance. And what's going to happen at the beam of seat of Christ? Our work shall be made manifest. You know what's going to happen at the beam of judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to be judged for our soul. Our soul was judged at Calvary. My sin was paid for at Calvary. The judgment of the cross, the Lord took care of it. I'm not going to stand before God for one sin. They're gone. But I am for my works. Now, if I lose reward, I'm still going to heaven, but yet I'll have nothing to lay back at the Lord's feet. Nothing. And our works will be made manifest. They'll be brought. I don't know how that's going to happen, how that's going to work, but the Bible said they'll be made manifest. They'll be put in the fire. If they withstand the fire, they'll be as gold, silver, and precious stone. You receive a reward. But if you had an ulterior bad motive for whatever you did, they'll be burned as hay, wood, and stubble, and you'll lose reward. Not sonship, but reward. Are we prepared for that? Are we prepared for his appearing and for his accounting? These folks were. Paul said they were. Are we? God help us in these days. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Let's all stand. Let's leave this coming. Heads are bowed.